The hymn books are over in the corner by Jason there. If you ask kindly, he might even bring you one. So that's number one. And I'll need help to sing because I won't be able to single-handedly drown out the ones who are talking. So number one in the corner by where Jason was. A little talk with Jesus, how it smooths the rugged road, how it seems to help me onward when I stand beneath my load. When my heart is crushed with sorrow and my eyes with tears are dim, there is naught can yield me comfort like a little talk with Him. I tell Him I am weary, and I fain would be at rest, and I'm daily, hourly longing for a home upon His breast. And He answers me so sweetly in tones of tenderest love. I'm coming soon to take Thee to my happy home above. I cannot live without Him, nor would I if I could. He is my daily portion, my medicine and my food. He's altogether lovely, none can to Him compare. The chief among 10,000, the fairest of the fair. Oh, wait a little longer till His appointed time, and glory in the knowledge that such a hope is mine. Then in my Father's dwelling, where many mansions be, I'll sweetly talk with Jesus, and He will talk with me.
Great. Anybody else? Have a number?
Wow, that's a rare privilege to be able to give out two songs in one hymn sing. Number two, and if anyone else wants to get one, give one out, they can maybe look even before we finish singing this one. Number two, a pilgrim was I and a wandering in the cold night. Nah, apparently I got that wrong. Okay, if someone wants to correct it. Feel free to start it. What's that? Oh, Howard, would you start number two?
A pilgrim was I and a wandering In the cold night of sin I did roam, when Jesus the kind shepherd found me, and now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Some valley, my Savior will walk with me there, and safely his great hand will lead me in mansions he's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
My God, I have found the thrice blessed ground, where life and where joy and true comfort abound. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, amen and amen. 'Tis bound in the blood of him who once stood, my refuge and safety, my surety with God. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, amen and amen. He bore on the tree the sentence for me, and now both the surety and debtor are free. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Lord's offered lamb. 'Twas God who himself had devised the plan. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Amen and amen. And though here below mid sorrow and woe, my place is in heaven with Jesus I know. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Amen and amen. And this I shall find, for such is his mind. He'll not be in glory and leave me behind. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Amen and amen. For soon he will come and take me safe home, and make me to sit with himself on his throne. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
I just heard 160. 160. The path that I have trod has brought me nearer God. Though oft it led through sorrow's gates, no, not the way choose, in my way I might lose the joy that yet for me awaits. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go, or who am I that I should choose my way. That I must bear, if is well done, I'd share. Is not the cross that I would take, but since on me 'tis laid, by grace I'm not afraid, for he away surely may. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go, or who am I that I should choose my way. The Lord shall choose for me. It's better far, I know, so let him bid me go or stay. Submission to the will of him who guides me still is surety of his love revealed. My soul shall rise above this world. 36. And hopefully everyone's turned away from this hymn now, so I'm going to ask to see if you remember what you sang. In the third verse of this hymn, we sang a statement that said something was a surety or a guarantee of God's love revealed. So what's the guarantee of having God's love revealed in our lives and appreciating it? Seems a little counterintuitive, but that's the truth. Submission to his will of him who loves me still is surety of his love revealed. So often we want to go our own way because we think we'll be happy, but we'll leave that sense of appreciation of the love of God behind us if we do. 36.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Surely is thine. I'd like to take 2 minutes of your time and tell a story, a brief story about my life, and then I'll ask you if it was evidence of the power of God in my life. I worked a full day of work. It was during the summer, and it was about maybe around 5:30. I was worn out after a long, hard, hot day of work, and I got a phone call from one of my employees that they were way down south on the lake that we work on, Lake Joseph, probably maybe six, seven miles away, and they said the engine in their boat was making some noise, so they shut it off, and they checked the oil, and there was no oil in the boat. Oh no. So he's floating in the middle of the lake, so I have to rescue him, and so I go running down to the dock where I have some boats, and went to hop in the first boat, and turn the key, and nothing happened. And, I know what it is. The battery's dead. And so I went up to the hill, got a booster pack, put it on the battery, and went to start the key. Click, click. Oh, never mind, it's the starter. So I went and got in another boat. And tried to start it, and this one actually started. And so I went pelting down the lake to try and rescue the employee who's still bobbing in the water, and about halfway there, I ran out of gas. And that's usually not a problem because I carry two cans in the boat, and so quick switched the other can over and went to start this boat, so now I'm bobbing in the middle of the lake at about 6 o'clock in the evening here, and Oh, great. Well, let's try again. Oh, no. And scratched my head, and there was a rope on the boat, and I was able to wrap it around the flywheel of the motor and pull. And nothing happened. And try again, and after maybe 15 minutes, got the boat started. And, oh, wonderful. And go the rest of the way and go to pick up this individual in the boat and go to start towing the boat home. And we were starting to make pretty good time. We were going maybe 4 miles an hour. We were moving really fast, so we'd be home within an hour and a half. And so I try going a little bit faster, and just as we start going maybe 5 miles an hour, all of a sudden the boat just goes zzzz, and we come to a halt. The boat stops moving. So now there's two broken down boats in the middle of the lake and one at the shop. And so finally, to make a long story somewhat shorter, managed to be able to go 2 miles an hour now and got that boat tied up at one of our customers' docks. And then went to go home, and we were able to do now 4 or 5 miles an hour in this boat. The propeller, the hub of the propeller had let go, so you could still move a little bit. But going about 4 or 5 miles an hour, this is around 7 o'clock at night, maybe 7:30, coming in the bay, and the clouds are getting darker, and all of a sudden a storm hits, and it just starts pouring down rain. Now the question I have, power, all power, surely is mine, or surely is thine. Was that a display? Was that an evidence of the power of God in my life? Any answers? The answer is yes. And we only think the power of God is exhibited in our lives when everything works wonderful and you turn the key and it works every time. But the Lord has all power, and in our lives, He's forming the circumstances in our lives to bring us to appreciate Himself more and to be formed more to His character. And so, sometimes we may not appreciate it at the time, but the Lord Jesus has all power. It's been given to Him. You have that in Matthew, how He could say, and I can't even quote it, it fell out of my head, but that verse there in Matthew 28, that all power was given to Him in heaven and on earth. And even those days like that I was describing is an evidence of the power of God in our lives and His care for us. So it's good to be remembered that all power is His and that He cares for us. Number 33. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the love and joy He gives. But greater still, the certain days, because Christ lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know Sure.
because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is
time for one or two more? 35?
Have I an object, Lord, below, which would divide my heart with thee, which would divert
Number 179.
We joy in our God, and we sing of that love.
My name is Walter Porter, and I'm from Walla Walla, Washington. That's a long way from here, but my brethren are here, so I came to see them. So here we are tonight, having sung those nice hymns. Now we're going to have a few minutes in the Word of God. So let's ask His help. The question I wanted to ask tonight is, what will you do in a day of small things? Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. What will you do in a day of small things? We read in Jeremiah, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not." This is not a day of doing great things, but we're at the end of a dispensation. The day of grace is coming to a close. We've had 2,000 years, more or less, of the gospel going out and the truth of God being known in a way that it wasn't known before. And that's a wonderful thing, but when we think of the end of a dispensation, there's oftentimes very little left of the testimony that was started at the beginning of the dispensation. If you call to mind when the Lord Jesus was born, how many were there in the temple waiting to see him on that eighth day when he went in to be circumcised as the manner was? We read of Anna and a Simeon and the widow that went out and spoke to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. So how many were there? Maybe not very many. And if you read about those 400 silent years between Malachi and the coming of the Lord, all we have pretty much is secular history to tell us about those times, but they're sad times. Two high priests at the same time, hiring armies to fight each other, all kinds of intrigue, and it's really sad that God's people had slipped down to that level. Well, we're in a day today toward the end of this dispensation. So what are you going to do in the day of small things? Are we going to be found going on for the Lord when he comes back? Blessed is that servant whom when I come I will find watching or doing. So let's read in 1 Samuel 17 to set the stage here for my comments, because I think in a nutshell here in 1 Kings 17, the first 16 verses or so, we have a nutshell picture of church history. Basically the beginning of it and the ending of it, but at the beginning here we're going to read, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." And we'll stop there. We read today in Acts chapter 1 about the beginning of the church and what tremendous power was there, and these cloven tongues like as of fire that sat on the heads of the disciples there, and the great mighty works that were done, and miracles, and so many people getting saved, believing the gospel. It was a wonderful time. And to me, we have that pictured here in Elijah at the brook, because there were supernatural things going on there. Here were ravens that are scavengers that should have eaten anything they could come across, yet they didn't. They brought it here for Elijah to eat. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Unnatural things, supernatural things. And then the brook, the water that he was drinking, was right from the source. He could go to the brook and get something to drink. And I look at that as revelation, that God was telling us things that we couldn't know by ourselves. I thought that was an interesting comment. Somebody said that in our Sunday school in Walla Walla one time. Revelation is God telling us things we couldn't figure out by ourselves. I thought that was a good definition. So here it is, the water from a pure source, and here's unusual things happening. And to me, that's a picture of Pentecost. But we read in verse 7, times changed. Came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now we have a different picture. In those days, if you were a widow, they didn't have very many social programs. You couldn't go to the government and get on the dole. You couldn't go on welfare. And if you lost the man in your life, it was a difficult thing, especially if you had children then that you had to provide for. So it was a very weak situation to start with, but sometimes maybe a widow did all right. But this widow, it wasn't the case. She was out gathering sticks to make a fire to make their last meal, because all she had was a little meal in the bottom of the barrel, and a little bit of oil. And she was going to go in and make the last cake, and give it to her and her son, and they were going to die. Now that's a pretty weak situation. Why would the Lord send Elijah to a situation like this? You think, you might say it's suicide. We know it wasn't suicide. We know the Lord was in it. And I want to say that this is the condition of the church today. This is the condition among the gathered saints, if I can say that, today. It's a very weak situation. The water is now no longer in the brook. We don't have revelation from God. It's in a vessel. We read that there in verse 10 at the end. And not only is the water in a vessel now, it's not straight from the source, it's gone through another hand, and we have the ministry that we've been speaking about today. The writers, Mr. Darby, Mr. Kelly, and many others that have given to us the usefulness of their gift. And these things have been written down, and they're for our learning. And we do well to take advantage of them. But it's a weak day. And so God sends Elijah there. And maybe he was questioning when he got there, well, how is this going to work? But he went in faith, and the widow took the man of God's word for it when he said in verse 14, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. The times of refreshing were coming, but they weren't there yet. We're waiting for the Lord to come and for everything to be taken care of. There'll be no more drought in our souls. There'll be no more difficult times. The time of our schooling will be over, but it hasn't come yet. We're still here in this world, and we live in a day of small things. So in verse 15, it says that she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah, and wonderful things happened. She and he and her house did eat. The margin says a full year, and I think you'll find that's borne out by Mr. Darby. The barrel of meal didn't waste. They ate a whole year on what should have been one last meal. And people look at the assembly and they say, how are they going to make it? What kind of gift do you have? You don't even have a good pastor there. How do you expect to carry on? And some of us really have a difficult time with that. But there's a promise here from the Lord that I just enjoy, that she and he and her whole house were there, provided for. The Lord said to Elijah, you go there and you will be provided for. If he had tried to do it another way, the famine was in the land. We don't know what would have happened. We aren't told what could have happened. But he obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to the widow's house. That was a humbling thing, I bet. To go somewhere where it looked like they were always on their last meal. They didn't have much going for them, but it was where the Lord wanted him. Where does the Lord want you? We've been reading a little bit about the one body, thinking about the ground of gathering. And I hope each of you are at the Lord's table, because it's a wonderful privilege provided by the Lord in these last days, where we can go and have these privileges of sitting with a loaf and a cup on the table, and remembering the Lord Jesus in his death as he has asked us to do according to the scriptures. What a wonderful privilege that is. So I hope that that's your experience as well. But don't be afraid of being in the widow's house. It may look like it's about to fall apart. Say, how can this thing continue? But if the Lord is in it, don't doubt the Lord. Now there's one other thing I want to take out of this passage before we go on to the next chapter and pick a few things up there. And that is, there was quite a trial to this widow woman when he says in verse 11, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And then she tells him what the situation is. And in verse 13, Elijah says, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first. Make me a cake first. And you know, we might be in difficult circumstances. You know, my work might be such that I have to get up early. You know, I got stuff to do. It might take me a lot of hours to get through my day. You know, and then I got other responsibilities. You know, there's this and there's that and the other thing. Are we willing to give the Lord first what he would like from us? He wants to hear our voice in prayer. He wants to see us opening the pages of his precious word. Are there so many important things in this world that we can't give the Lord a little cake first? You know, in Walla Walla, there's a lot of wheat grown, and harvest time comes around, and there are those times in our lives that are very busy. The Lord understands those things, and we're not here to make a rule out of that kind of thing, that you have to set aside 30 minutes in the morning from 4 to 4:30. No, but we are saying, The Lord wants a little portion from us. He wants us to get on our knees and speak with Him. He wants us to get a little instruction from His Word for the day. And it's a happy privilege to be able to do that. So may I just encourage you in that way. But here we have what things were like at the beginning and what things are like at the end. And it's not a pretty picture. It's a day of awfully small things, despised things even. But that's where Elijah was, and that's where God told him to go. And if we understand anything about the ground of gathering, it is that the Lord has a place, and we want to be there. When we go there, then, we might find difficult things, but we're going to find that we'll be provided for until the times of refreshing come. Now, I just want to read a little bit in the end of chapter 18 from the standpoint of encouraging those of you that are younger to step up to the plate and carry on. You know, I look in the mirror sometimes now and I see a lot of gray hairs, and I noticed the other day it's getting pretty white down my sideburns. And it was a long time coming, but all of a sudden it's here. You know, I'm 68 years old right now. And I'm thinking, how many more years do I even have to live? I don't know. I could have a heart attack. You could get a phone call next week and say, did you hear about Walt? No, he had a heart attack and he's with the Lord. It's quite possible. I don't know. But the older ones are getting older. Who is going to step up to the plate? What are you going to do in a day of small things? When Elijah was on the mount here at the in chapter 18, he'd been through quite an experience there. There were 450 prophets of Baal, and they all ended up slain, and the Lord had answered Elijah in a wonderful way. And then I want to pick it up on verse 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down to the ground, to the earth, and put his face between his knees. Now here Elijah is at the end of quite a day of victory. The Lord had really undertaken for him. The Lord had answered his prayer. The fire came down from heaven. The people were convinced that the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And now, I don't know how old Elijah was at this point, but I want to take this up in a little picture here, that Elijah is wondering who's coming after him. Who is going to come along and pick up the reins? Who's going to pick up his mantle? Now, we know the story, and so we know that Elisha came along and did that. But here we see Elijah, and he's praying on top of this mountain after this great victory. He cast himself down upon his earth, upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. In verse 43, he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. So I look out tonight at a lot of faces. There are a lot of pairs of eyes looking back at me. There was a sea here that the servant went out to look over, to see if there was some indication that there were those who were going to carry on. So he sends his servant out and says, go and see if there's anything. So I look out here tonight and I wonder, 20 years from now, where are you going to be if the Lord tarries? Are the saints going to be indebted to you for your going on with the Lord and being an encouragement to them? Or are they going to say, well, they used to be here, but they're not anymore. Where did they go? went off in the world. They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to get rich. They wanted to travel the world. Will they say that about you? What is really life? Paul said of Timothy, I have no man like-minded who will care with genuine feeling how you get on. And we need to take up those things that are really life. So the servant went and looked. It says in the end of verse 43, he came back and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. So he goes and looks a second time out over the sea. He comes back and says, I don't see anything. Looks pretty dead to me. Looks like everybody's doing their own thing, going their own way, ordering their own life the way they want to. He says, go again and look. Comes back the third time. Don't see anything. Go 7 times. The last time he comes back and he says, verse 44, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go and up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Mr. Darby says, the pour of rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. The blessing had finally come. They'd waited 3.5 years because of the wickedness of Israel and because of their sins. And God had to use Elijah to bring a famine on the land for the people to consider. But now the famine was over and the rain had come, a lot of rain. And it all came from that little cloud that came out of the sea first, and then it developed and developed. And it ended up to be heaven black with clouds and wind and a great rain. I like to think of that little hand, a little cloud coming out of the sea like a man's hand. And you know, it really delights the older brethren to see the younger ones reach up and take a hold of what God has to offer. It takes energy to pursue those things. And nobody that stands up in a place like this is going to say, well, I've had the energy and look at me. But we just want to encourage you that it does take energy and it takes self-discipline to try to be here for the Lord. After all, He's done so much for us. Is there nothing that we can do back for Him? Is there no thankfulness in our hearts for having saved us from our sins? May the Lord help us to reach up and grab a hold of what God has to offer, all the blessings, the promises. It's been said that the life of faith has joys in it that they who don't walk in it will never know. If you want to go on with the Lord, you're going to find that there are joys there that you never knew you could experience. We think we know how to please ourselves. We go after this, or we run down that rabbit trail, or we make these great plans. A lot of times, they don't end up to be very much. But if we follow the Lord, there are going to be joys in that pathway that you never find if you don't walk in it. So may the Lord encourage our hearts that the things of God are worth pursuing. And may it be that there's that exercise with us and that energy to reach out and grab a hold of the eternal things and give ourselves to the Lord so that there can be blessing like this among the Lord's people, because it's not just for ourselves. If we want to go on with the Lord, there's going to be blessing that ripples out from that. So, I want to finish with a story along the same line, only it has to do with running a relay race. There was a brother in Walla Walla, had a Sunday school one time, and he talked about when he was in track in high school. He ran on the 440 relay, and there were four of them, as I understand it, on this team. And so they would practice, and they run, maybe it was a lap, and then they handed off this baton to the next person. And he ran a lap, and then he handed it off to the next person. And that's what we're talking about as far as who is coming after us. And it really delights the hearts of the older brethren to see the young ones in the Word, asking questions, wanting to go on for the Lord. And so this this young brother said, when he used to run the relay, there was a word that he and the next person that he was holding, handing out the baton to, would only they would know this word that they were going to say to each other, because the one was waiting, and as he came around the last curve, and as he got to just a certain point where the other one was so far ahead of him waiting, he would say that word, and the other one would take off running, because that was the signal. And then they would blend together just at the right time and pass the baton and go on. And to me, that was really sweet, because there needs to be, between the older and the younger, an understanding of things and a little bit of a relationship, so that there can be a smooth passing off of these things on to the next generation. So may I encourage young ones to come alongside some of the older ones. You'll find a blessing there. And may I encourage the older ones to get alongside the younger ones and to have a little rapport there somehow or another, so that there can be a passing off of these things that are so important in a smooth fashion. So may the Lord encourage our hearts in that way. And you know, maybe we say, I can't, you know, I don't have much gift. I don't know what to do for the Lord. I don't know. You know, I read the scriptures and I understand a little bit, and I read the ministry and I, you know, I'm trying, but I just don't seem to get a lot out of it. Or there's so much ministry and there's so many brothers that know so much already, and I just feel like I don't know anything. Well, I want to read a poem to you in closing. And if you don't have a book of poems by J.M.S. Tate that's called Bells and Pomegranates, I encourage you to get a hold of a copy, because the brother has such an ability to put a really nice exercise into verse. It's really wonderful. This is one of his poems, and it has to do with when David was telling Solomon, well, now this is what I've laid up for the house of God, and God told me that you're the one that's going to build the house, and it wasn't going to be me, but I've prepared for it. So this is what I've prepared. And he goes down the list, and 100,000 talents of gold or whatever. Well, immense amount of riches and wealth that David had amassed for this project. And then he says to Solomon, and you can add to it. Yeah, right. What do I have to add to such an abundance as this? So, Brother Tate wrote this poem. Thy house, O Lord, is richly wrought. As we think of all the brethren that have gone on before, the writings, the ministry, we can even hear it today. Thy house, O Lord, is richly wrought with costly ores and rare. The wisest and the best have brought their choicest treasures there. Yet while I view with kindling eyes those riches old and new, thy gracious tones my soul surprise, thou mayest add thereto. So be it, Lord, as thou hast said, most gladly would I bring each little thing that I have made, touching thy glorious King. If aught thy holy eye shall deem as pure and fair and true, vast though this gathered store may seem, O add my might thereto. We may not have very much to offer, or at least it doesn't seem that way to us, but that's okay. The word is, thou mayest add thereto. Don't give up because you don't have what someone else has. The Lord has a gift he's given to each one. And as Gordon Hayhoe used to say, devotedness will tell you what your gift is. If you're not willing to be devoted to the Lord, you can't sit back and say, well, I'm going to wait till the Lord shows me what I'm supposed to do. But we need to be devoted to the Lord. And then it'll become evident to us as we go along with him. So may the Lord encourage our hearts. In a day of small things, we're not looking for another Mr. Darby to come along. But we do value those who will take up the scriptures, and they will be before the Lord, have the Lord's people on their heart, and seek to be a help and blessing among them. Let's just pray.